Do you have a code for living? If you don't, you might just find yourself chasing social status and material success by default. But a little reflection reveals a better way of living, according to J. Aaron Simmons, author of the new book, Camping with Kierkegaard, Faithfulness as a Way of Life. Aaron is a professor of philosophy at Furman University and the former president of the Soren Kierkegaard Society. He also hosts the YouTube channel, Philosophy for Where We Find Ourselves. Here he is to share five of his big ideas.
Hey, everybody. I am Aaron Simmons, and I'm a professor of philosophy who specializes in postmodern philosophy of religion, especially existentialism, phenomenology, and deconstruction. And I'm also the former president of the Soren Kierkegaard Society, USA. Now, I'm sure that this introduction will likely cause most of your eyes to roll, and if we were on a plane together, you would quickly put in your earplugs and turn the other way. Ha! Well, perhaps more important than my academic identity, I am a husband, a father, a trout fisherman, a mountain biker, and someone who finds joy in the mountains. I have published hundreds of academic articles and a dozen other books that are all nearly unreadable philosophical tomes. But in the attempt to show that philosophy is not simply an academic discipline reserved for folks in tweed jackets, smoking pipes, and hanging out in libraries, I wrote a book for a broader audience, Camping with Kierkegaard, Faithfulness as a Way of Life. This book is an attempt to invite you to find meaning and purpose in a world so deeply marked by despair. It is a blend of existential philosophy, personal stories, a good dash of pop culture and hip-hop references, and plenty of insights gained from my time spent camping, fishing, and mountain biking. Before diving in, let me offer a note regarding my motivation to write the book. I've spent far too much of my own life seeking the success that would then make possible meaningful time with my family. 80-hour work weeks were normal, and I told myself over and over that I was doing it all for my family. But when my son was about 7, so he was too young to be ironic or snarky, he and I were walking downtown and he said, "Dad, I don't want to be a philosopher when I grow up." I immediately responded, "What? Philosophers are the coolest." He then simply said, "No, Dad, they don't spend enough time with their kids." Oof. Now, you would think that this would be plenty to have changed everything for me, but habits are hard to break, and it wasn't until COVID forced a transformation in my daily practices that I resolved to live differently, to live more intentionally, to find joy now, regardless of what tomorrow holds. I'm still trying to figure out how to live this way, but I wrote this book to remind me what matters. I hope that it encourages you to do the same wherever you are. Let me be clear, this book is not just for those who love camping. My wife would always rather be at the beach. It is a book for everyone who feels overwhelmed by life and searches for some way to resist the pressures to think that external success is the mark of a life well lived. This book does not tell you how to live, but it does invite you to think a bit more deeply about who you are, where you are going, and why it matters. As I say in the preface, this book is an invitation to walk the trails of life with me. So come on over and join me by the campfire. The hot chocolate is really good. The stars are out in the clear sky tonight, and the conversation is just getting going. Okay, so here are five key insights from Camping with Kierkegaard that I hope you will find compelling. Insight number one, the human condition is defined by vulnerability and relationality. Being human means fundamentally being vulnerable. We are limited beings. All of us, no matter how successful we are going to die. Moreover, even while we are alive, we experience loss and navigate tragedy on a regular basis. Another way to think about this is that our embodiment marks us as fragile, flawed, and finite. Sheesh. That got dark quick. Yikes. Well, here's some good news. Because of such embodied vulnerability, our very finitude is never something we experience in isolation. We are deeply relational. We are always already connected to others in bonds of affective investment and moral responsibility. Because of our shared condition, we can hurt others, but we also can care for them. Life matters because that choice is real for us in small, daily ways. Freedom is real, but so are the consequences. Insight number two, finitude is the condition of meaning. It might seem that since we are finite and not going to live forever, that despair would threaten all of our activities. What's the point in doing anything if all of it is eventually going to end? Well, ancient philosophers from Socrates and Seneca to contemporary thinkers such as Jean-Paul Sartre and Maya Angelou all remind us that since we do not have an infinite amount of time, it is crucial to make the most of the time that we have. The way that I express this in the book is with the guiding question, what is worthy of your finitude? As I explain in the book, we all have to answer this question for ourselves, but our decisions profoundly impact others. So ask yourself, what is worthy of your time, your attention, your investment, your effort, your action, your belief, and your devotion? What is worthy of your life itself? Our decisions matter because they help to shape how the world will be for those who inherit it from us. Yes, finitude can be frustrating because it means we cannot manage everything. No matter what we choose, risk remains. But as David Kangas, my former professor and mentor, wrote in an email he sent me the day he was diagnosed with terminal cancer, "In the end, there is the unmanageable, but we would be trivial beings without it. So onward with my day." I strive to live into such encouragement. Finitude is not something to escape, but something to embrace. Life is not something to defer until tomorrow, but something to be lived at every moment. Insight number 3, seek faithfulness rather than success. Once we begin to ask what is worthy of my finitude, we can see the importance of shifting our approach to life from what I call a success orientation to what I term a faithfulness orientation. There's nothing wrong with being successful, but it can be a dangerous way to find meaning in life because it operates according to an if only, then I'll logic. Think about it. Maybe you, like me, have found yourself saying the following: if only I can make it to the weekend, if only I can get that promotion, if only I can find the right relationship, if only I can get that house or that car or that bank account, then I'll be happy, then I'll find joy, then I'll have time to focus on what matters. Well, the problem is that if we make a habit of thinking that some external achievement, social recognition, or accomplishment is the condition of our joy, then we will live such that joy is always just around the corner, but never quite here. It's like the singer Donovan Wood says, "Although we keep saying that next year we will do the things we hope to do and be the person we hope to be, we never stop and realize there ain't no next year. There is only ever today." The problem with the success orientation is that it makes us people who are defined by success and wrecked by failure. If we embrace what I call faithfulness as a way of life, then we better understand that the goal is not to catch the trophy trout, though that's cool, but to be someone who keeps fishing. It is about living a life, not just putting trophies on the wall. Importantly, I define faith not as a religious idea, but as an existential one. Faith is simply risk with direction. It's about embracing the risk of our vulnerable existence. That is, whatever you choose to do, you could have chosen otherwise, and yet living on purpose in a direction that you take to be worthy of your finitude. Like mountain bikers all know, when you drop in on a trail, you have to just send it. The same is true in life. Insight number 4, don't be an asshole. A success-driven life can easily tempt us into becoming what Aaron James calls an asshole. The asshole thinks that their success makes them better than others and their achievements determine their identity. They can't handle critique because they need to rest assured in their own rightness. Assholes are not just annoying people. They are fundamentally out of step with their very humanity. They both deny their vulnerability and also minimize their relationality. It sucks to go camping with assholes. Living faithfully is the best way to avoid becoming an asshole, because once we embrace faithfulness, we can then better understand that the goal of life is not to be something once and for all, but instead always ever to be becoming someone we are okay with having been. The problem, though, and also the exciting promise, is that we always already are who we are becoming. In other words, because there ain't no next year, it is crucial that we not think that achievement will make us into who we hope to be. Only by being who we hope to become right here and right now, and yeah, I'm now singing that Jesus Jones song, can we ever really faithfully live into the hope that defines us. What you choose to let matter today will define what will matter tomorrow. Aristotle expresses this point by saying that our habits define our identity. Similarly, Augustine hits on the same idea when he notes that what we love determines our selfhood. In the book, I talk about the theme song from that show Cheers and stress the importance of finding a place where everybody knows your name. Well, when we appreciate the importance of living faithfully, we actively name ourselves in ways that we want to be known. Hopefully, you are not known as an asshole, but as someone that others want to have with them in the mountains, at the office, and as a friend. Insight number 5. Cultivate humility, hospitality, and gratitude. So how then should we live? What types of behaviors mark the lives of those devoted to faithful existence? Well, here I think that there are 3 key virtues that we learn on the trails of life, and literally by spending time in mountains. The first is expressed nicely by that contemporary philosopher Kendrick Lamar. Sit down, be humble. Socrates famously presents humility, the awareness of your own limitations, as the key to being able to seek truth. If you assume you already have everything figured out, then you have no reason to keep thinking well. Only if we are humble enough to realize that we still have lots to learn can we cultivate the appropriate awareness demanded by a commitment to truth. When in the mountains, if you are not humble, you will get yourself injured, or worse. Overconfidence on the trail will not end well. Once we develop humility, we should also see that hospitality is required. Others might know what we do not. Showing hospitality is a way of being open to both encouragement and critique. As my wife and I said to each other at our wedding, "Come, let's walk together and talk along the way." This invitation is one that helps to overcome the division and the animosity that so often follow from arrogance. When we live faithful lives that are marked by humility and hospitality, we can then appreciate gratitude as not an occasional emotion, but a constant lens through which to see the world. Sometimes it rains during the camping trip, you crash on the downhill run, or the fish are just not biting. But you are here, where you have chosen to be. Joy is possible because, as the philosopher Nick Riggle puts it, this beauty of the present moment, of life itself, remains. Ultimately, with Anne Lamott, may we all be able to be humble enough to say help, hospitable enough to offer thanks, and grateful enough to live daily into a deep expression of wow. Thank you all for listening to these 5 key insights of my book, Camping with Kierkegaard, Faithfulness as a Way of Life. I hope that you will get a copy of the book, but in the meantime, please connect with me at my Substack, Philosophy in the Wild, my YouTube channel, Philosophy for Where We Find Ourselves, or on my website, jaaronsimmons.com. But let me close by saying how much I appreciate you walking the trails with me just a few miles today, and I hope that you will join me for many more in the future. I am excited about dropping in with you at the top of the trail and fist bumping you at the bottom. I look forward to you going camping with me and Kierkegaard. I think it will be very much worthy of your finitude. I know that it will be worthy of mine.
Thank you, Aaron. That was J. Aaron Simmons with 5 big ideas from Camping with Kierkegaard, Faithfulness as a Way of Life. Also, check out our book bite for Happiness in Action, A Philosopher's Guide to the Good Life, by Adam Adato Sandel. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.